Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see each of you in worship this morning. If I could draw your attention to the pew pad located at the end of your pew, we invite members and guests alike to take that, pass it down your pew, put your name and contact information there. We just want to get a record of your attendance today, and we thank you for choosing to worship with us. Inside of your bulletin, you'll see several announcements we have listed here. Today is Memorial Day, and we'll be talking about that here in a few minutes. And due to that, the church offices will be closed tomorrow. There'll be no morning Bible study here at the church tomorrow, but then the normal weekly activities are listed there as well. Also, Graduate Sunday just so happens to be next week. If you're a graduate or have a family member graduating, you see the announcement there. All the information should be in the church office by May the 31st, which is Wednesday of this coming up week. Our children, or a lot of our children, and Jeff are away at children's camp this weekend up at Camp Canoga up in Hendersonville, North Carolina. They're having a great time. I heard they tried to do a little swimming yesterday in the lake. And if you know the mountains and a lake, it was mighty cold, and I don't think they enjoyed under the water for too long. I think they enjoyed maybe the canoes and stuff on top of the water a little more warmly and comfortably. But I know they're having a great time there this weekend, learning about God together and fellowshiping with each other. Just pray for them on their way home today as they're traveling back here safely to us later on this afternoon. Our ushers now are going to come down the aisle. We just want to extend a special welcome to our guest. If you chose to worship with us today, we thank you for coming here. And we just want to give you a little bit of information about who we are and how we do things here at College Park Baptist. It is a great place to be. It's actually the place that raised me, and I'm tickled to death to be back here. Inside of the information they have for you is a letter from our pastor. You'll hear a little bit, or maybe a lot more, from him later on. We just want to thank you for worshiping with us today. And speaking of our pastor, he's going to come now for a Memorial Day observance.
It's bad when the choir comes in, they are carrying lunches with them. So, you know, we're going to be here a while. We want to pause for just a moment and talk about Memorial Day, because I think it's important in the life of our church to remember sacrifices that have been made. Memorial Day was originally called Decoration Day. I don't know if you know that. It was established as a day to kind of decorate the graves of the fallen soldiers from the Civil War. There's a lot of cities that claim to actually be the first ones to do that. Several years ago, when Mark Matthew was married, when we went down to Mississippi for he and Florence's wedding, the little city there in Mississippi claimed to be the first. There are others that claim to be the first, but the purpose was and still is not to forget the sacrifices that have been made by courageous men and women, you know, who gave their lives in service to their country. And so that is the reason that we pause to celebrate Memorial Day, to remember those who have given of themselves and all that they have, all that they are. And so we want to recognize in memory of those who have gone before us, and we understand we're supposed to be remembering those who have died. We get that. And so we do that. But we also want to recognize all those who have participated by serving in our country's military, both the military as well as the auxiliaries. So whether you served in any branch of the military or any of the auxiliaries, we ask you, if you don't mind, would you please stand right now? Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I challenge all of us. Tomorrow is, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of sales. There's a lot of this, that, and the other. Kind of stay focused on what it's really all about, and that is remembering the sacrifices of our men and women in the armed service, as well as those who are continuing to serve this day. We also want to take a moment to recognize the fact that there will be many tomorrow, perhaps even all weekend, who are still at that point where they don't have closure. For those who are family of MIA, missing in action, they don't quite have the closure of knowing exactly what happened to their loved ones. for those who were prisoners of war, that they knew they were prisoner of war, but they didn't return home, that they have no idea really what happened to them. For those who were captured as prisoners of war and did return home, all of these we want to include in our remembrance today, because we know in those circumstances there's all sorts of emotions that get involved with that. So I want to challenge you to remember those families as well, even as we celebrate the freedoms that we have. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you as your children who love you, and we remember those who have sacrificed their lives in service to our country. Father, we don't confuse country and kingdom, but we do recognize the sacrifice of our men and women who've served in our armed services to protect the freedoms that we have the luxury of enjoying every day. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice, but we also thank you for the families who also experienced sacrifice and not knowing whether their loved ones would come home from their service. So now we remember the families, and we thank you for the gift that each of these who have given of themselves have given on our behalf. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand now, if you would, for the playing of taps. Remain standing, please, for the reading of the 23rd Psalm, which is often referred to as a soldier's prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. You may be seated.
Pray with me. Father, how glorious your name is, and how you are worthy to be praised. Father, this day, as we gather to worship, help us to tune out the distractions of this world and focus on the one who created the world and truly is worthy of all the praise we could ever give. So, Father, this day, let us praise your name. Your name we pray. Amen. Ministry of God's Word this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, and then also from Psalm chapter 93. To start with, page 827 in your pew Bible, if you brought yours along with you, I'm sure you can easily find the page number there. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And then flipping back to Psalm chapter 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up. Lord, the seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statues, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. Pray with me if you would. Loving God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for choosing to have relationship with each and every one of us. Father, we're so thankful because we need you. We need you in the good days, just like we need you in the bad days, the tough times, when life brings us struggles of this world that we don't think we can handle. Father, we thank you for being there, ready to comfort and guide us through whatever life might throw our way. Father, this week we've had an opportunity to serve you, and sometimes we've taken that opportunity, and Father, sometimes we've ignored you. Forgive us, Lord. Father, help us to find a time in which we can share your story and how you've impacted and changed our life with somebody else. Father, this week within the church, we've dealt with loss, with struggles. Kids are gone to children's camp. Life is bringing us obstacles that wants us to turn our eyes away from you. Father, give us the strength to draw closer to you than ever before. Father, this day as we continue our worship, we pray that our worship is pleasing to you because you're deserving of everything we have, all of our focus and all of our attention. So, Father, this day, let us worship you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, May we pray. Oh Lord, even as we honor and give thanks for the brave men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we might enjoy the freedom to gather and worship you today, we are also reminded of the ultimate sacrifice paid by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. In this context, calling our tithe sacrificial giving seems presumptuous. But Lord, we do, with joy, give you our tithe, give you our offerings, in a small way, thanking you for what you've done for us. Please accept this with our full thanks, with joy in our hearts, with appreciation for all that you have done for us. In fact, everything we have is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning's sermon is entitled Remembering, and it's funny what you remember. Yesterday, I've got a little bottle of Jeff's Living Water from a couple weeks ago, sitting there to rehydrate if I need to during the service, but it prompted a memory in my teenage years of being in a little church in Hendersonville, and we had this revival speaker who came in, and he was pretty busy in his delivery. Okay, very animated, very active in his delivery. And I remember he perspired a lot. And I also remember the fact that he had this big thing of water that he had sitting there right behind him. And he preached a long time. I mean, a long time. And we're sitting there, and the first time I heard him, and he's up there just giving it everything, then he'd stop and chug some water, and then he'd keep going. And I looked at the little girl who was sitting beside me. I was dating at the time. I said, he can't go much longer. At some point, he's going to have to go to the bathroom. And she just looked at me and said, no, he's sweating it out faster than he's taking it in. And it's funny what memories do for you, isn't it? So when I stop and take a drink of water in a few minutes, you'll go, okay, he's not sweating, so... Tomorrow, we are going to be celebrating Memorial Day. And it's always struck me as a little odd that we celebrate the sacrifice of people with extravagance. You know, we remember people's sacrifice by going to a sale and spending lots of money, or we remember people's sacrifice by throwing ribs and burgers and eating till we can't move, you know. It struck me as a little bit odd that we do that. You know, some will have big parties. Some will just have quiet afternoon with the family. You know, maybe you're just going to be enjoying that extra day off work. You know, we've already discussed why we celebrate Memorial Day. So let me just kind of overstate the obvious when I say that the key to Memorial Day is remembering. Remembering. I'm sure that we all have individuals in our lives that we remember. The fact is that we really remember the impact that people have made upon our lives, don't we? We remember them, but we also remember the significance, the role, the things that they have done for us and with us. Which leads me to my question of what kind of impact are you making on the world around you right now? How will you be remembered when you leave this earth? Good question, isn't it? You see, as Christians, I would think that we would want to leave a living legacy when we leave this earth. And hopefully the difference that we've made will be of eternal value. We hope that, right? Are you with me there? We want to make a difference. So this morning, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture that encourages us to make a difference in the world around us and leave this living, this lasting legacy behind. So if you would, if you have your Bible open to Hebrews chapter 12, I'll just be reading four verses. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. There's a pew Bible there if you'd like to join reading. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." Some good remembrance, if you will. You know, what do we need to remember? What do we need to remember? The author of Hebrews lays out some things we need to remember. Let me suggest to you three things that kind of fall in outline of what he says. First of all, I think we need to remember to move forward. If it's a race, we need to remember to move forward. There's a reason why we need to move forward. The author of Hebrews calls us to remember the fact that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Who are these witnesses? Well, he starts our reading today with the word therefore, referring back to chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It really is, because it has all of these people that are listed there, who are finishers. You know, think about it. Those that we are to remember are those who are people of great faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11. So these were people who are to be remembered because they would inspire us to live more fully a life in Christ. Let me outline some examples from chapter 11. You have the pre-covenant people that are listed. You've got Abel, the man who brought an appropriate sacrifice to God. You've got Enoch, the man who walked so close to God that he just went on to heaven without even dying. I said in 9 o'clock service, I'd like to be that. That's you know, if you could go that way, you know, let me do that. I'm not worthy, but what an awesome way to go into the presence of the Father. Then you have Noah, the builder of the ark, the survivor of the flood. Then we move on to the patriarchs, Abraham, First Covenant, the one who was known for following God by faith. You have Jacob, a man who God changed his name to Israel, and he became kind of the source, if you will, of the 12 tribes, the great leaders of the nation of Israel. Then you have Moses, the one who was obedient and led God's people out of captivity in Egypt. Then we have David, who's mentioned, the killer of Goliath. One of the greatest kings in all of the country's history, even with all of his flaws,
great leader. You see, we kind of forget. We forget that God does his best work in the lives of ordinary people. You look at David, a man after God's own heart, and yet he had flaws. We get that. You see, God makes it a habit of doing the impossible through people who are not that much different from you and I. That is a great source of comfort to me. The only difference in these heroes of the faith that are outlined in chapter 11 and us is that they were available for God to use. Do we make ourselves available to God? You see, the secret to having a life that leaves a legacy is understanding that it's not what you do for yourself, it is what God does through you for other people that leaves a legacy. That's how you make a difference in this world. It's how you make a lasting impact. So as we move forward, understand also that we have a right to move forward. We're all human. We get that, right? We're all human. We all make mistakes. There is none of us who is perfect, but the reality is that most of the sinful choices we make are exactly that. They are our choices. You know the old phrase from, what was it, Flip Wilson, back in the 70s? Who made him do it? Devil made him do it. No, sorry, Flip. Devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it. You chose to do it. But we do the same. We laugh about it, but we do the same thing. We attribute to the devil things that he hadn't even dreamed up yet. It's our choices. It is our choice. You see, that those things, you know, God understands that we make choices daily. We need to understand we make choices daily. Discipleship is not a one-day matter. It is a daily matter. Daily giving ourselves to Christ. In 1 Peter 2:11, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." Sinful desires, where do those come from? Our own selfishness. Our own selfishness. We are given the right to move forward with God through the way that we live and the choices that we make to honor Him. Our text covers it. Verse 1 of our text says, "Throw off hindrances." Now understand this word, this would conjure up in the mind of the first century of someone who maybe had a backpack, a soldier or someone who had this heavy pack on the back of them. Throwing off their hindrance would be getting rid of that, just dropping it right where they were. Any type of heavy clothing, anything that would hinder them from running the race, that's what he's talking about. Put aside, drop off the hindrances. Then later he says in the same verse, he says, "Throw off entanglements." Or in the NIV, "the sin which entangles you." This reference would be to a runner who was running a race and he would look to make sure there was nothing there that could trip him up. Nothing to entangle you. Nothing to let you lose ground in our walk with Christ. All of that has to go. Modern examples would certainly be, you know, an overindulgence in pleasure at the sacrifice of not following Christ. The pride, the gossip, worldly desires, all of those things. The list could go on and on. So my question then is, what is it in your life that causes you to stumble the most? Identify it, give it to God. What is the second most prevalent thing that causes you to stumble the most? Identify it, give it to God. Go all the way down those lists. All of those things which would entangle you, give them to God. Get rid of it. Later in verse 1, it continues, it says, "to run with perseverance," or "to run with endurance," as another translation said. This refers to being consistent. Just being consistent, being courageous. Keep going. We are called to live an active life for Christ and to make a difference in the world around us. Now, there are times when we just have to be determined to do this. You know, with young children, we call them strong-willed. And as teenagers, we call them stubborn, you know. And then somewhere in our Christian life, we say, "Well, we're just determined." It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It manifests itself in different ways. We must be sometimes just determined to continue to walk the race or run the race that is before us. Watching out for entanglements, watching out for hindrances in our race. We have that right to move forward. We must be determined to carry it out. We also have the rigors of moving forward. You know that there's no task that's really been set out before us, you know, that we aren't capable of doing with God's help. The important thing is to remember as we're running the race, if we're in the race, we might as well race, right? There's no point of being in a race if you're not going to run. So why be a part of this? The key is to get started and then don't stop. You know, there are rigors. There are things that will come in our path, but we must be determined to keep going. You know, our race began when we accepted Christ. And we stay in that race by building daily a personal relationship with Him. Our goal as Christians is to stay on course. Remember, Jesus is the one who sets the course, and the Holy Spirit acts as our guide. I shared at 9 o'clock, I remember as a teenager going to North Carolina forestry camp through 4-H. And the whole week we were doing different things in the forest, learning about, you know, measuring, you know, standing timber and all these other things, identifying certain insects, things that would kill trees, how to, you know, all of these things related to forestry. But one of the challenge competitions was orienteering. You know what I mean by that? Orienteering. Take this little compass and you work your way through a course based on setting the compass and then finding your next point that you want to go to. And the secret there was you had your first set of instructions and you had some coordinates. And Ron, many times we talked about you would have a guesstimate on how far it was. Other times you didn't. You may just had a tree, you know, breed or species that you were looking for at that point. All right. And so what you do is you'd set your compass and you'd get your point. And when you found the point where you were supposed to be heading, the idea, the secret was to stay on course, was to be constantly focused in on that point. You may be counting steps, you may be guesstimating, you may be looking at tree species, but you had to be focused on that point. And I remember going through the woods like a banshee, just as fast as I could go because it was a competition. And I was pushing weeds aside and all that other. And I remember pushing on a pine tree that was only about this big around, but it was really tall. The eastern part of the state, these pine trees grow really fast. And so it was only about this big around. And I remember kind of just pushing on that. And in the back of my mind, I thought at the time, you know better than that. You're not supposed to push on small trees. And if I needed a reminder of that, it was about four steps later when the top of that broke loose and hit me on top of the head. Yeah, genius. And in those moments, I could kind of see what I was looking for. But then I also saw lots of little white spots. Yeah, and I'm doing this number, trying to stay focused. What was I counting? What was I looking for? I'm not sure that's it. Maybe. And so for that moment, I thought, I can't pass out. People don't know where I am. They kind of did, but I lost my focus on where I was supposed to be going. I had done something foolish, and it caused me to lose my focus, which kind of leads me to the next point, and that is, we need to remember to remain focused. And who are we to be focused on? Rick said it very well in his prayer. We are to be focused in on Jesus, right? We are to be focused on Christ. And one of the greatest problems in churches today is we have so many people who take their focus on Jesus and they put it where it does not belong. What are those things that trip us up? Those things we put our focus on that we shouldn't. And they're all anything but Christ. Our focus should be on Christ. He is, according to our passage, and we all know he is the beginning of our faith because he is the author of our faith. Our faith must start with Jesus because he is the right foundation. He is the only foundation. But we get focused on all this other stuff. We get focused on possessions and maintaining possessions. You know, these blessings that we get from God, and somehow they become the ends that we're focused on. We get focused on problems. Yes, we all have problems. Yes, we all have hardships that we need to face. But when they become our sole focus, we lose the proper focus. We get focused on public appearance. What do people think of me? I don't care. What do people think? We shouldn't care. It's what God thinks of us that we should be focused on. And until we get our focus where it needs to be, we will never have the deep relationship with Christ that he deeply desires from us. We'll constantly be finding ourselves off course, off track. The truth is that once you place Jesus in the center of your life and make him your focus, everything else falls into place when you do that. Keep your focus on Christ. Second, keep your focus on the cross. Wow. You know, we remember today, and rightly so, the sacrifices of those who died in service of our country. But even more, we should remember the sacrifice of Jesus to redeem us from ourselves, from our own bad decisions, from our own selfishness. Jesus endured the suffering of the cross and did so willingly for you and I. I think it's worthy of remembering because it is through the shed blood of Jesus that we gain the forgiveness of sin. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Peter writes, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree." He bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. He died so that we could live for righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. So when you fix your eyes on the cross of Christ, the things of this world no longer seem quite so significant. Because the cross forces us to forget ourselves and to focus on Jesus. When this happens, reaching a lost world kind of becomes one of the most important things of our life because we realize that people all around us are dying in their sin and we need to help them to know about Jesus. So we focus on Christ, we focus on the cross, and third, I think it's valuable to focus on the conquest, if you will. Because too often we forget the fact that we're engaged in a spiritual struggle. This is spiritual warfare. Understand that. Understand. This struggle takes a toll on us, or it can, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. There will always be times in our lives where we feel like that we've lost the struggle or that we're losing the struggle. And in those times, we need to remember that Jesus, through Jesus, we have victory. We have to claim it. And claim victory through Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Christ being the Greek for Messiah. Messiah, the promised one, the one to deliver us. Through Jesus, we have victory. Jesus has already run this race. He has marked the course. He has won a victory that every believer shares in. We all share in it. Now, you say, "Well, I feel like I'm losing today." We all may lose a few battles along the way, but understand, in the end, with Jesus, we will win the war. Amen? That's what this journey is about. So we remember to move forward. We remember to remain focused. And third, we have to remember to stay faithful. You say, "Well, how do I do that?" Well, these verses outline it for us. Talks about being enduring. Jesus endured the cross so that you could gain an inheritance in heaven. If Jesus endured that kind of suffering on your and my behalf, should we not be willing at least to endure in service for his kingdom? You see, Christians stop growing a lot of times when the price gets too high. Well, Pastor, I didn't really sign on for this. Yeah, you did. You didn't read the whole thing? Yeah, you did. You see, what price are you willing to pay to become deeper in your relationship with Christ? What is it? Sometimes it's not voluntary. Sometimes it's thrust upon you. Can I get an amen from Rita? Yeah. Sometimes it's thrust upon us. We don't want it. But it happens anyway. You see, Christ is calling for total and unconditional surrender of your life. We sang a song in 9 o'clock service called White Flag, which talks about that. You surrender all that you are and all that you have. That's the deal. And once this happens, Jesus fills us with strength that nothing can take away and nothing can replace. So be enduring. Second, be encouraged. Jesus went through difficulties and hardships. Yes, he did. So what makes us think our life is going to be any different? Jesus is our model for living, and he is the one we are striving to be like. Our lives are to be spent trying to be more and more like Christ. We call ourselves Christians, but we don't want to act like Christ. What's the deal with that? Christian literally means Christ one. If you call yourself a Christian, start acting like it. Start acting like it. But be encouraged, because Jesus fills us with encouragement so that we can be more like him. So that we can endure. So that we can be faithful. And thirdly, be empowered. We can't do it by ourselves. We acknowledge that, right? We can't do it by ourselves. Jesus lived a human life and understands the reality of our struggle. He gets it. He's been there, he's done that, and he lived his life without sin. In Hebrews 4, if you back up in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Double negative there. So basically it means he is able to. Jesus is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. "But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, because we're that good." No. Because Jesus is our intercessor. "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." To stay faithful, we approach the throne and say, "God, help me. Empower me with your Holy Spirit to do the work that you've called me to do." Our strength is not what gets us through. It is the strength of Christ within us through his Spirit that we rely upon that sees us through the journey. So let me go back. How will you be remembered? How would you like to be remembered? It depends upon what you remember now. Remember to move forward. Remember to remain focused. Remember to stay faithful. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, we know we can't do this on our own strength. We acknowledge that right up front. We've all tried. We've all fallen flat on our face. We've all had trees hit us on top of the head. Father, sometimes we need that to remind us to stay focused on you and the things that you have for us, not the things of this world. God, we pray that as we seek to live a life that pleases you, Father, that you would empower us, that you would equip us, that you would encourage us for the journey. Father, we pray that we would be the kind of believers that point others to Christ, not to us. Always remembering that the race that you've given is ours to run, but you run it with us. For that, we give you thanks, all honor, and all praise. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you say, wow, I hadn't really heard any of that before. I don't have that kind of relationship with Jesus. It just so happens in a minute we're going to stand and sing a hymn. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you'd like to know Christ personally, if you'd like to live by his strength instead of your own, you can have a relationship with him beginning this morning. I'll be here. I'll be glad to talk with you, share with you how you can know Christ personally. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I do know Christ, but I'm still trying to run that race on my own strength, how's that working out for you? It's exhausting. It can be discouraging. I challenge you this morning, put it back in proper perspective. Let yourself off the hook and run that race through the power of Christ, the power of Christ within you. Settle that where you are with him. The altar will be open. I'll be glad to talk with you if that's what you desire. And if you're here and you say, boy, I'd love to be a member of this church, I strongly recommend it. Matt recommended it a little earlier. I do too. It's a great place to worship and to grow together. There are a lot of ways we receive members. Be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that decision as we stand and sing together now. Invite you following the benediction and a response to turn to one another, greet one another, speak a word of encouragement as we go out. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the chance to be together, for the freedom to come and to worship together, to lift up our praise to you. Father, we pray that it's been more than just an intellectual exercise, that it truly has been life-changing. We pray that as we go from here, that change would be revealed in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we bless and encounter people. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.